Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 444, Keys to the Cannon, recorded on October 2nd, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And we are here not live today because I am out of town for where I am. And we're actually in a hotel using hotel wireless, which isn't really conducive for live broadcasting. But nonetheless, we're here to bring you the Halo latest and greatest in terms of news that's going on. We have a bulletin that got posted a day later. And it normally does. Bravo was actually off last week, and now he's back in the hot seat, giving us the nice juicy details coming up for the Master Chief Collection. And we have a little more kind of lore stuff going on with Grim Brother 1. He's back for another section this week. And we also have the 343 Guilty Sparkle Lantern contest going on over at HBO. And we'll get all into that here a little bit. But first things first, bulletin-wise, we have a couple things going on for the Master Chief Collection. Like I said before, a lot of people were asking about Halo CE and kind of what's being changed about that, because there's a couple new things that are going to be added to Halo CE from what people do remember from it being on the Xbox, one of which is all the PC stuff that was exclusive to the PC is going to be joining the Halo 1 side of things for the Master Chief Collection. So that's going to be pretty exciting. BioWolf, have you ever played the PC side of Halo?
I have not.
Other than Halo 2 Vista?
I have not. Okay. I've heard a lot of good things about it, though. I've heard a lot of people say that the maps that were on PC were really good. Other than that, I haven't really touched it. I mean, other than I'm wanting to do Custom Edition, but that's... that's not really relevant, but I've always been a console guy for Halo.
Got it. So there's, I believe, I don't remember how many maps exactly is exclusive to the Xbox, but I want to say it's like 6 to 8, and the one that was remade for Reach, I forgot what the name of it, but it was Timberlands in Halo 1. Oh, Ridgeline.
That's right. The one with the trees.
Yeah, the one with the portable trees. That is... was originally a Halo PC only map. So we have seen a remake of a Halo PC map before, but now we're going to get all of the Halo PC maps included in the Master Chief Collection. So you guys will be able to play that, and you'll be able to use the Halo PC weapons, like the fuel rod and the flamethrower, which will be pretty awesome. And then, of course, something new that hasn't really been touched on, and I'm kind of a little surprised they haven't talked about this as much, and hopefully we'll get some more information soon, but Halo 1 is supposed to have matchmaking, and it's never had matchmaking before. Halo 1 for the Xbox had only local LAN play, or like local console play, and then for Halo CE Anniversary, they just pulled off the Reach multiplayer engine. And then on the PC side of things, it's either just direct connect via IP address, or you go to the server browser that was built into the game that used to be run by GameStop, but not anymore, and find games that way. So we're actually seeing a completely new multiplayer infrastructure piece being added to Halo CE for the Master Chief Collection, and we haven't heard a single thing about that.
No. Yeah, it's really... the one thing that's really popped up in my mind is that we're getting Halo CE Anniversary, and this was actually brought to me by one of my followers. They said, do you think we're going to be seeing a Halo CE Anniversary matchmaking with like anniversary maps or something? I was like, I don't think so, but it really makes me wonder if they would.
So the multiplayer for Halo CE is not Anniversary. It's the original Halo 1 multiplayer. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say from the PC side of things, because it is including all the PC maps, and the Halo PC version was basically the same as the Halo Xbox version, with a few things added like the extra weapons and the extra maps. So basically what you're getting with Halo CE multiplayer for the Master Chief Collection is the Halo PC multiplayer, essentially.
Right.
And this isn't Custom Edition. This is Halo PC. So no custom content in that regard. But we are going to see a full set of playlists specifically for Halo CE in the Master Chief Collection. And the only thing really that kind of stands out that I would like to see at least get mentioned in the bulletin coming up here before it comes out is, how are we going to see Halo 1 matchmaking be handled in terms of like loading up a lobby and that stuff? Because it was very simple compared to some of the other Halo games for setting up a lobby, getting stuff going. The options were limited. So it would be interesting to see if some of those options have been expanded or kind of what's changing with the Halo 1 multiplayer. Because it's not the Halo CE anniversary multiplayer, because that was Reach. So it's
right.
It's going to be interesting to see how things are going to be changing for this.
Yeah. It's also going to be really cool because I never really played, like I said before, I never played PC. Also, I know if I ever see Ghost Niami in a lobby, to stay away from him. he is ridiculous at when it comes to CE. I played him in the Player Pro Challenge at RTX, and I just got destroyed. Like, it was just ridiculous.
I think everybody got destroyed.
The thing that still aggravates me is that one of the people that never really played CE that much was Duquesne. He got a kill on him, and I didn't. I came close. I got a grenade off, and it took down his shields. But as soon as I shot him, he got that headshot with me. So, but I'm really looking forward to it though. It's something, a new experience that I haven't actually played yet.
Nice. And a lot of people I don't think have really played it in this manner. And I actually got into a conversation, actually I think it was with you, after we were done with our ODST night, which, by the way, guys, if you didn't have a chance to come out to our Tactical Tuesday, which I know is most of you because we only had, I think, 3 people show up, we had a blast. We got quite a few achievements done. I know we had a couple lobbies doing multiplayer, and we were originally going to do a couple of lobbies doing campaign. So getting Deja Vu, getting the legendary achievements, possibly doing one for all the Virgil terminals and that kind of stuff. And we would like to see a lot more people out there. And Bywolf, you said that some people came up after we had the game night and were really interested in having us host it again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was just, when I was done with it, I tweeted out saying that it was an absolute blast. And everybody that was in my lobby said that they had an absolute blast playing it. So, yeah, if you guys are willing and you need achievements, I strongly, strongly come out and have a blast with us and you earn a little bit more gamer score.
Yeah. And it's not that hard to actually 100% ODST. The campaign stuff is not that bad. The multiplayer stuff, I would recommend getting a couple people to run for the 200,000 points. And then, of course, Endure. It's an endurance run. It really is.
Oh, absolutely.
The name does not lie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see too many people playing ODST Firefight. I mean, I'm sure if you ask a couple of your friends, whatever, to actually pop on, I'm sure they will. But I would say that if you didn't get the achievements and you need them and you want to be around a group of guys that love Halo and have an absolute blast doing it, I say this is probably your ticket in doing that.
Definitely. It's one of those things, too, that we know we want to try to get done before the Master Chief Collection comes out, because a lot of people are going to be moving to the Xbox One, and there are those 3 Halo games that are not going to be coming to the Xbox One, which is Halo ODST, or Halo 3 ODST, Halo Reach, and then Halo Wars. And I know Halo Wars is one of those games I really need achievements on.
Mm.
I think I have 28 out of 48 achievements.
I think I got 2.
Well, the thing for me is I'm not an RTS person. I've tried to play RTS games before. I get absolutely decimated because it's not my game style.
Yeah.
So I've gone through and gotten most of the campaign ones already. There's some that I haven't gotten, like beating certain levels on heroic and completing objectives with certain things intact or doing them in a certain way and stuff like that. And then, of course, a lot of the multiplayer ones I haven't even gotten yet either because, you know, me trying to go up against someone else, it just doesn't make sense to do it because I'm going to lose anyways.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of that type of a game either. I mean, I played it with friends, then that's probably the only reason why I did play. I mean, apart from getting a little bit more of a Halo story from it, that was probably the only thing I did appreciate for Halo Wars. But I my personal opinion is I hope we don't see another one. I know a lot of people do, and well, I respect that, but yeah.
So the story for Halo Wars was absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people really liked the way the RTS style worked for the console, even though RTS isn't exactly a console genre that works super well. But I know a lot of people were saying that the way Halo Wars was implemented was actually implemented very, very well. So I do know there's an audience out there to see a Halo Wars 2, and I wouldn't mind it out there. Of course, I'd be asking people to come on to help me get achievements, but I would still go and enjoy the story.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that I really respected with Halo Wars was the cutscenes. They looked really, really good. Like, I enjoyed, like, I literally went back and went on a YouTube video just to watch all the cutscenes over because I enjoyed them so much.
They were the best cutscenes for Halo and were regarded as such until, I think, Halo 2 Anniversary's cutscenes and the glimpses of those that we've seen, which look absolutely incredible.
Well, not to mention the introduction to Halo 4. Like, that was really well done, too, for a cutscene. Like, it looked like on certain TVs, it looked lifelike. It was really good.
You're talking about the one where the very John's beginning, waking up?
No. Well, Dr. Halsey's getting interrogated.
Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah.
There were certain aspects of it, like when they were looking, like when they had the pan zoom of John as a child, you could definitely tell that was CGI. It wasn't as fleshed out as it could be, I think.
Yeah. But
it was a big improvement over Halo Reach and Halo 3 and all those games.
Absolutely.
Halo 4 was definitely a beautiful game. No doubt about it. But again, when it comes to the actual multiplayer and the campaign, they kind of missed a few things, and we've talked about that. But with Halo 5, we'll hopefully see something quite extraordinarily new, and we're getting a glimpse of that with Halo 2 Anniversary, I think.
Oh, absolutely. The thing that I'm really looking forward to the Halo 2 Anniversary, though, is just the multiplayer itself, because I'm seeing these screenshots. I'm looking through all these screenshots. It looks incredible. Like, it really does.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous. I mean, the fact that we're going back to playing a game that graphics are just ridiculously good looking and going on next gen hardware, it's really, like, I'm kind of baffled about it. It looks really, really good, and I can't wait to play it. Like, I really can't.
Likewise for me, dude. I am so pumped for this.
We're almost there, though. We're almost there.
Almost. We are about 6 weeks away from having this in our hands.
Mm.
It's going to be wonderful.
And I'm going to have no life because that's all I'm going to do. So please.
I wish I could take that day off of work, but I think I have a meeting that I really can't miss. So I'll be playing a lot of it whenever I get it. I know that much. Whether I'll be playing like maybe for 2 or 3 hours after I get it on that night, it's still kind of up in the air. But
yeah,
we'll see. I know I'll be playing it throughout the rest of the week.
Oh, absolutely. Needless to say, there's going to be a lot of hours of sleep that was lost by playing that. But one thing I am looking forward to too is custom games for Forge. There's a lot of improvements, and I've talked to a lot of different forgers out there, and they've all said the same thing. They said that they're really eager to get back into forging. I mean, granted, Halo 4's Forge was difficult to use. Others say it was, others say it wasn't, but personally to me, I was trying to use it, and it wasn't Reach's. I mean, the Precision Forge to me was a big deal. I guess that kind of differentiates the good forgers compared to the newbie ones, I guess, but it's but I'm really interested to see what is created in this and Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah, but we only have one map, sort of, so to speak, that is highly forgeable, and right now that's Coagulation. And if the rumors are true, which it's kind of very, 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 very likely at this point, that the last map is going to be the remake of Warlock or Warlord, then we don't really have many other maps that have great potential for Forge for Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah. People said Zanzibar is a good one. I don't see it. Do you? For Forge?
Unless, unless what they said during the PAX panel that a lot of the space for forging is going to be kind of left more open to where you can actually go out. Maybe you can forge stuff over the water for Zanzibar or in the water. But unless they move those absolute end or kill boundaries out, then yeah, you can forge some stuff on Zanzibar, but how much can you really alter that map before it just completely breaks the flow of it?
Well, we also have Halo 4's maps too for Forge.
Right, but the forging tools for that are not changing.
True.
Remember, the stuff that they talked about during the panel is only going to apply for Halo 2 Anniversary's Forge.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure brilliant minds can come up with something. Like, I have no doubt.
I'm sure we have some excellent forgers in the community, but from just looking at Forge in the past, we've had these palette maps come up that have really fostered some of that forging growth. And I can see definitely where having a foundational map and then kind of modifying that, that takes a different skill set of forging. But from an absolutely creative standpoint, we're really not having, other than Coagulation, many other maps to really explore forging opportunities.
Yeah.
So look at Halo Reach. You had all of Forge World, which was basically, if you kind of look at it, five separate map building areas. And then in Halo 4, you had Forge Island, which came up after Ravine, Impact, and Erosion.
Right.
So looking at kind of the forging potential for that, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what forgers can do with the maps that are going to be remade and see what they can do with Coagulation. And we still need to see a lot more information about Coagulation, which I'm hoping they talk about here soon. But
yeah, there's also a lot of people believing that this is the only thing I'm saying that I'm hoping, but a lot of people are thinking that Coagulation could be some type of Forge World. Granted, it's not the same length or it's not as big as Forge World, but they have some sort of, I don't know, like outskirt map type things they could forge on. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see until.
So you mean basically outside the box canyon?
Yeah. Like maybe like a river or something that has, I don't know. I have no idea. There was a picture that I seen on YouTube that they kind of made it to where it could be a Forge World, but it seemed unlikely, but there's always that chance, you know?
Okay. I guess I could kind of say that, and that might be one of the reasons why they're holding back on that, because they don't want to show some of the things that will be made available for Forge. So, but we still need some kind of information about it, because we still haven't seen actual screenshots of it.
No. But like you were saying before, I think the best is saved for last, in a way, for Forge. That's what a lot of people are saying. They said there's a particular reason why they haven't shown that yet. But I don't know.
My theory is that they're still trying to cram in different forging elements and different capabilities in there before they have to go gold.
Right.
That's my argument, but it means more stuff for us, though.
True.
It would just be nice to see something that's just not concept art, because other than the last map that we know is, well, we pretty much know is Warlord, we haven't seen any gameplay footage or any screenshots of Coagulation. And it was the second or third map announced for the Master Chief Collection in Halo 2 Anniversary's multiplayer.
I think it was the second, because it was in Ascension.
Ascension was first.
Ascension, and then they announced that RTX for Coagulation. They showed that concept art.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Which was a good one to bring back. I think that was one of the more popular Halo 2 maps.
Oh, absolutely.
From a big team perspective. Now, a lot of the other maps that they've picked is really kind of geared towards that smaller squad-based gameplay. I mean, if you look at Ascension, that's kind of a small team map. Zanzibar, it can be kind of both small team and big team, just from the layout of the map. And then what else do we have? We have the possibility of Warlord, which Yeah.
We
have Sanctuary. Or Shrine, which Shrine. Is a huge, huge competitive map.
Oh, absolutely. We also have Lockdown.
And, yep, that's another big, big competitive one. Yeah. So they're really focusing on the competitive aspect for the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the direction that they're going to try to go for Halo 5, too. There was a lot of backlash saying that the Halo 4 wasn't that competitive. And I think they kind of leaned away from that. And I don't think they liked that too much. And I think that's the reason why the popularity on Halo 4 died down really quick. And I think 343 bringing Halo 2, like probably the most competitive Halo out of them all, with a remastered deal and all these maps that were extremely competitive. I think that's them saying, yeah, we're definitely going back to the competitive scene of things.
Yeah. You can see that for the Halo 5 multiplayer beta that they're going to be launching, because that's supposed to be their arena shooter, which is supposed to be their competitive stuff.
Yeah.
But for Halo 2, though, for Halo 2 Anniversary at least, I would think you would want to encompass pretty much the whole, like, get a good spectrum of maps in for Halo 2 Anniversary, not just the ones that are big competitive multiplayer, because while that was a significant portion of Halo 2's history, there are definitely a lot of other maps that got played from a community standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's just a clash, you know. You have these average players that are in it to have a good time, you know, that don't want to go into a game that's going to completely get dominated with these competitive people. I mean, you're going to have that regardless, but a lot of people are saying that they don't want to see just the competitive scene. You know, they don't need, I mean, to me, I think it's fun. I like playing competitively. I think it's a rush, and I think it's a pretty fun thing to do, but I also like just playing casually with friends, you know, just going out there and having a good time. So it's kind of a clash, and I'm really interested to see how that's going to turn out with that.
Well, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love competitive. I love watching it. I love watching the global championships. I loved watching these $10,000 tourneys that they had for Gamescom and PAX Prime. But you just have to look at the rest of the Halo community, because if you think about it, the competitive community for Halo, for the people that play it, is a small portion of the players that are out there. And a lot of gamers are casual gamers.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the people that buy it the most, you know, they're sad to say
they're never really going to get heavily engaged with the community. They're never going to be that into competitive. Like, if they see something on 343's website on Halo Waypoint, then they'll probably check it out for a bit, but they're not going to be super dedicated, hardcore fans like we are. So
yeah.
If you really want to appeal to that player base for Xbox, then you really need to kind of level that out and not necessarily focus too heavily on competitive. But, I mean, keep it important. And that's kind of what they're doing for Halo 5. They're having three different play styles when it comes to the matchmaking and the multiplayer stuff. They're going to have the big team, normal stuff, and then they're going to have the regular team / free-for-all stuff, and then they're going to have Arena, which is going to be the tailor-made experience for competitive. And that's all fine, but you have to balance that out across all the platforms. You just can't have one which would be competitive completely heavyweight, because not everyone enjoys that.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I invite my dad to come play with me whenever I'm at home, or my brothers, we never do something that's competitive. We always play big team, which is highly social. They can have fun without being hit with super big consequences or being yelled at for not doing too well. And a lot of people play like that. That's one of the reasons why big team is the playlist that always has the most amount of numbers in it.
Yeah, and I really couldn't agree more with that. It's just, I know a lot of different people. I mean, I'm engaged with a huge part of the dedicated Halo fan base. You know, I know a lot of them, but I know a lot of my friends or whatever that they just buy it to play the game. And when they actually go online, that's what they do. They go on big team, they go on these different things, and then they go onto a competitive thing or whatever. And these people are just lashing out at them saying, you know, you need to get better at the game, you know, what is a person like you doing? I like it's they don't enjoy it.
Right. And those kind of people aren't necessarily out there to get better. They're just out there to enjoy the game because it is a game that is popular among people, and it shouldn't really be more than that for those kinds of people. Heck, I know people that only buy Halo just for the campaign only. They don't even go online to play multiplayer.
Yeah. I mean, it just really shows, though, where two different mindsets are where in this community, which the clash is really, I'm looking for the word, like really hard, because you have these people that the majority of the Halo community that doesn't enjoy like MLG or anything like that. They don't care. You know, they rather have, oh, let's play Halo this Friday night just to have a good time. You know what I mean? And then you have these people saying, you know, get rid of this, get rid of that. You know, that's not competitive enough. You know, keep this. And it's just the other people are like, no, keep that in. That's what makes it fun for us. So it's annoying, you know, and 343 can't do both. Like, they can't cater to one person and then cater to the other person. Like it's hard, and I can understand that. And it's got to be a frustration situation. I mean, I think Halo 4 was more towards the casual players because of just how things were. I mean, and that's just my personal opinion. Halo 3, I know a lot of people that were just in there for the competitive scene. You know, that's where I was at. You know, when I was, granted, I did a lot of stuff with friends, but anytime that I was by myself, I was always out to get better at the game, to get more competitive with it. And every Friday night, me and my friend or whatever, we would go and watch the MLG tournaments. Like, that's just what it was. And it really makes it, I don't know, it really makes me wonder where Halo 5 is going to be. I mean, I know we have the arena shooter. I'm just really going to want to see the response when the beta comes out from the community standpoint.
I'm expecting it to be pretty good. I don't think they would put a beta this early on in development without having explicit intentions for what they're trying to accomplish. And they've already come out and said what they're trying to do with it, too.
Yeah.
So as far as having that out there, yeah, it's going to be focusing on the competitive stuff, because that's something that they kind of lost with Halo 4 and they want to bring back for Halo 5, which I'm completely cool with. But you have to just keep a balance on that. And I think that's one thing that a lot of communities really don't get in touch with, which is something I try to focus on with Podtacular, is realizing that there are so many different aspects of Halo. And I think that's one of the reasons why this podcast still goes, is because I can touch so many different communities through what I've done. And I have so many different contacts within the big Halo community. Like, I can probably list off 30 different Halo communities that are out there, and I can go out and touch either any one of them and be like, hey, what's up? And I get a response back from them.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that's just how diverse Halo is. And I think sometimes a lot of communities fail to just kind of take a step back and realize that Halo is so diverse. And that's one of the reasons why I very much dislike the We Back hashtag that's been thrown around, because that is something. I've been meaning to make a blog post about this, and some people have even said I should make a video or talk about this on a podcast. But one of the things that harkens to that is not true of this community is one of the things back in Halo 2 is all the clans that we had jive so well together. You could go to one clan and they would know every other clan in and out. You had this intimate, deep relationship with a whole bunch of other different Halo communities. And right now, that doesn't exist. If you're part of one Halo community, it's not likely you're part of another. So if you're part of TeamBeyond.net, you're probably sticking with TeamBeyond.net and nothing else. If you're part of another clan, like Praetoria Guard or PMS, you're probably sticking with that clan and that clan only. If you're doing Griffball, you're probably just doing Griffball only. It's all that kind of stuff. And I kind of miss those days where you could really touch out to anyone and everyone looks out for everyone else. And that's just not there.
Yeah. I literally just made a tweet about this last night, and my friend was just talking about how bland the Halo universe is and what Halo is. I was like, I literally talked with him for a good 3 hours, and basically what it just boils down to is there's so much in this universe. There's so much in this franchise. If you're a bookworm, you can read the books. If you have some type of like artistic ability, you can make screenshots. If you have if you want to forge something, you can forge. Like, and everybody out there has some sort of, you can go in Halo and have some sort of place within this community. You know what I mean? I think that they, a lot of different franchises doesn't have that at all. I mean, if you go to COD, people aren't in there for the campaign. You know, they're in there just to play a competitive game. And 99% of the time, people are just raging and throwing controllers to their TVs. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, with this, you have people that are into the lore. You know, being a part of something, a lot of people can touch base on. And I think that's kind of where I am at the moment, because I am with so many different people. You know, I talk with forgers. I talk with people that do screenshots, because screenshots was something I really enjoyed doing. And just I talk with a lot of people about lore, because I want to learn a little bit more about what Halo is. You know, what did I miss that can make this part of Halo make more sense? You know, it just, it's huge. And there's always something that could be done in this. And it's just, the Wii back thing, it's, I don't, I mean, you've talked about this a couple of times. And it's just annoying. It really is. And I'm sorry if I offend anybody out there that says Wii back, but it's just, no. No. I don't know. I mean, this Halo is such a unique thing. And more people really need to grasp that, not just go in there, you know, and just aim for one particular thing. Go out and reach to other people. Go out and expand and learn about different other things. I mean, it makes the experience that much better. It really does.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things, too, where Halo's gotten so big to where it does have this kind of multiple personality complex, where you have all these different communities that fill all these different voids, and they're kind of home to different people's ways of doing things. But you just have to be careful of getting into a mindset that this is the only piece of Halo that matters, when it's really not. There are so many different aspects to Halo, and that's one of the things I really, really love about Halo, and it's one of the reasons why I've been doing the podcast, and I keep on doing the podcast even after 6 years, is because Halo is so diverse, just not even from just the game perspective, from the matchmaking, but the multiplayer, to the firefight, to Spartan Ops, to campaign, but it has such a rich story through the comics, through the books, through the Halo Legends, and all this other external entities that really feed the universe. And on top of that, we have so many different communities that define a grand scale of what it really means to have a thriving franchise. And Halo, the Halo community is one that is unique among other Halo or other gaming communities, in my opinion. There aren't many other ones where you can really go into and instantly see that there are so many different aspects, and to see groups crop up around those specific aspects and just grow. For, I mean, take example, just the multiplayer side of things. You have Griffball leagues, you have racing leagues, you have big team leagues, you have so many different leagues based around specific game modes for Halo. And then on top of that, you have websites that are dedicated to the lore of the universe. You have other communities that are just forgers. You have other communities that are just making props, like the 405th. I mean, it's, Halo is such a rich universe, and it's, right now, it's one of a kind.
Yeah, I mean, if you go into a store or whatever, like, say if you're going to GameStop and you look through all these games and you look at Halo, you can't just say, oh, it's known for that one particular thing. You can't say that. Like, you can't say, oh, well, you look at Black Ops, it's known for two things. It's multiplayer and zombies. You know, that's what it's known for. And it's just another thing that really blows my mind is just the community, what a community can create. Like, Rooster Teeth create Griffball in their Machinima series, Red versus Blue. You know, Machinima is something that was created from Halo in a way, you know.
No. Machinima started way before Halo.
Well, no.
Unless you mean something else.
Well, no, I mean, like, if you think on it, what I'm thinking of Machinima as, like, them actually voicing and doing the character and all that different type of stuff, you didn't really see that before Halo, in my opinion. I didn't really see that.
There was definitely a Machinima out there before Halo. Not to discredit what you're saying, but there was quite a bit of Machinima out there before Red versus Blue got their start.
okay, I guess. But apart from that, there, going back to the Griffball thing, Griffball was the start about them, Rooster Teeth, just messing around with like a name. You know, this is the best thing since Griffball. And them making a simple little game type they had fun with created into something as such as huge as the Griffball League. You know, they're really, really into what they're in, like into Griffball. You know, I've talked to a lot of different people, and once they're in the zone, they're in the zone. You know, they're out and they're going to go for that win. And it's just crazy. It really is.
Yeah, and I've talked to a couple of people, and whenever Griffball was, I mean, it's still kind of growing, and it is still growing. But you ask the competitive community, and they would laugh at Griffball because they thought it's just this kind of chump game type. But there are some people that, like you said, are super serious about it and are really, really good. And Griffball is, it takes a lot of skill. And I mean, that skill even comes down to knowing how the network connections work in Halo, which pisses me off every single time I try to play Griffball. But beside the fact, it's, you just kind of have to open your eyes and realize what's out there in the Halo community. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like the Wii back, because I don't think a lot of people realize what else is out there in terms of Halo communities and just being a unified community, not just all these disparate pieces.
Yeah. I mean, just because one thing is coming back in a way that is getting, like, the hype is coming back for it, doesn't mean that the whole franchise is coming back again. Like, you have just, you, like I said, branch out to find other people, whatever, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that like Halo for different aspects of it.
Yeah. But anyways, to digress a little bit, getting back to the bulletin, they're doing a Twitter giveaway for some of the little mini helmets that they had at San Diego Comic-Con. And for those that didn't know, they were actually supposed to get more than what they had there originally. So the shipment that, the extra shipment of the helmets, well, not really extra, but the shipment that they're supposed to have, they have now, and they're going to be doing a giveaway on Twitter. And it's for whatever kind of Halo 2 tattoo that you have, you can send it in via just a Twitter picture or YouTube video, Facebook post, Instagram, whatever. If you have a Halo 2 tattoo, you can just tweet them a link to it, just to @Halo, and they'll be doing a drawing for people that send it in, and you'll get some signed mini Chief helmets. These are the uncolored white ones that they let people draw on, and they featured at San Diego Comic-Con. They had, like, I think it was the three best ones from the previous day they would showcase on the floor or something like that. So if you want a chance to get one of these and you happen to have a Halo 2 tattoo on you somewhere, then take a picture and send it to 343. I bet it being in appropriate places. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
there's also another edition of Cannon Fodder, which is the segment that Grim Brother 1 is doing, talking about the Halo lore. So I don't remember if we actually had this as a title last week for this segment, but that's what they're calling it. They're calling it Cannon Fodder. And this time, Grim Brother 1 is talking about some of the surrounding events of the discovery of Installation 04. A lot of people probably know this already because a good portion of it is in the game, but there are some things that, if you haven't read the books, if you haven't read, The Fall of Reach, then you probably have not heard some of the details on what he's talking about. But just to kind of give a quick rundown of some of the stuff that he talks about, of course, September 19th, 2552 is the date when the Pillar of Autumn made a random slipspace jump and encountered the ring world that would be later called Halo, which is Installation 04. And that was after a random jump, which was not quite as random, was made. If for anyone that has read the books, and we're kind of getting into spoiler territory, so if you don't want to be spoilerized or whatever,
spoiled.
Yeah. If you don't want to be spoiled, then kind of skip ahead a couple minutes. But for anyone that has read the books, you'll remember there was a little Covenant, or not Covenant, Forerunner artifact that Covenant had found and that Blue Team had at one point captured. And Dr. Halsey, after evaluating it, had determined that it was star coordinates to certain Forerunner structures. They didn't know what they were, but she programmed them into Cortana. And whenever they made a random jump vector, when they left reach, it wasn't quite as random. So they stumbled on to Installation 04, and then that's when the whole events of Halo 1 take place. So that's just kind of a quick background of what he's talking about here. And he'll be covering a little bit more next week, some other events of Halo Combat Evolved specifically. So if you want the full write-up, of course, check out this week's Halo Bulletin. If you've already read the books, then you probably already know all the stuff that he's talking about in there. But if you haven't, it's a pretty decent read if you want to get caught up or if you need a quick refresher on the events of Halo 1. There's also a Q&A section in here that Bravo answers some questions. One of them being talking about game options, which he says that all the custom game options that you remember in Halo 1 will still be there. Matchmaking, some playlists will include radar, some won't. PC exclusive maps are going to be available in matchmaking and for custom games. Same thing for Halo 2. So there were two Halo 2 maps for Halo 2 Vista that were exclusive to the PC platform. And those will be making an appearance in the Master Chief Collection. And that is District and Uplift. So if you've never played those before, if you've never played Halo 2 Vista, you'll actually get to play those for the first time in the Master Chief Collection. So that'll be pretty cool. Those will be available in custom games and matchmaking, of course. PC weapons. So he has an interesting response to this, which I believe you're still going to be able to play with PC weapons, but I'll just kind of read this out here. He says, you are able to select your weapon set in Halo CE from a brand new list of weapon sets, which will, of course, include Classic, which will not include the flamethrower or fuel rod gun. So from what it sounds like here, yes, you will be able to use all of the weapons, but there will be a weapon set type that will only include the Xbox Halo CE weapons. So if I'm understanding that right, yes, you will have the PC weapons available, but of course, there will be certain playlists, and you can create custom games that do not allow those if you so choose. And then there's a question here about whether or not we could have screenshots, and he posts two screenshots, one from Battle Creek or Battle Canyon, one of the two, and then Chill Out. So if you want to take a look at those, of course, head on over to this week's bulletin. And then it is a short bulletin this week because we're already at the screenshot spotlight. For me this week, Autumn Splendor, I think, is going to take the top for me, and that's by Tico Demon.
Yeah, my two favorite is Autumn Splendor by Tico, and the other one is Hex by Comic Beast 1212. There's not the usual 10 this week either. There's only 8.
I don't know if that's just Bravo being lazy or... Or maybe the submissions weren't as good this week or something.
Although Spy Metals 53 appeared in here 3 times.
Yeah. Sometimes they just kind of pick them from the same screenshot person.
Mm-hmm. Although they all look good. I have to give everybody that made these screenshots credit. They all look awesome, but these ones just appear to me a little bit more.
Yep. Same for me. Last little bit of news, well, actually two little pieces of news. There is supposed to be, and this is what I've heard from the grapevine, an official announcement on the final map of the Halo 2 Anniversary map set, which right now is leaked to be Warlord, and that's still not official yet. But there's supposed to be some kind of official announcement at New York Comic Con, which is next weekend, and they haven't posted anything about it. So it's kind of pulling in some questions of when are we actually going to hear some information, because New York Comic Con is probably the last big convention that they can really announce something before the game launches.
Or goes so, gold.
Well, yeah, because it'll go gold probably 3 to 4 weeks before the game is supposed to come out.
Yeah, but so.
As far as having stuff to talk about, they don't have a panel there either. So if they're going to talk about it, maybe it's just going to be a website announcement or something on the side that they're going to be talking about. I don't know. But from the grapevine, I've heard something that's supposed to be announced, but they haven't mentioned anything in this week's bulletin either. So I'm kind of a little curious to why that is. And I mean, I don't have an answer for that either, but hopefully something will come out of New York Comic Con for Halo, because I will actually have a chance to be there.
Lucky.
So. Someone had a press pass that they can't use because they're not going, so he is sending it to me, and I am going in his place to kind of cover some of the stuff that he wants to be covered, and then, of course, try to get the scoop on whatever Halo is going to be there. Hopefully that'll be some good news. Maybe Halo, the Master Chief Collection, will be playable on the floor. That would be pretty cool. I'm not going to keep my hopes too high, though, just because we haven't heard any official announcements from the bulletin or from them on Twitter on what's going on. So I do hope something's there, but right now there just doesn't seem to be anything there right now.
Yeah. Something that they may do is just release like a video or some sort, like on YouTube or on their Twitter, stating like what's going to be there and saying it's going to be the next map going to be playable on the floor. Like, they may do something like that. I have no idea. It is interesting how they're going to release that next map, officially stating it.
I don't know. It's going to be, I hope they say something soon, because it is coming up pretty quick. We're pretty much almost at the home stretch. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's that coming up next weekend. Hopefully I can get some pictures, and if Halo's actually there, maybe get some interviews as well. And then last little bit of information before we leave you guys for this episode is the 343 Gilto Lantern Contest is open from halo.bungie.org. And that is a yearly pumpkin carving contest that they hold. And they've been holding it. This is actually the 10-year anniversary of them actually holding this contest. So if you have some pumpkin carvings that you do that are Halo themed, then you'll probably want to enter into this. They'll take all designs, and anything that goes up will be voted by the community the first weekend in November. So if you want to kind of take the time to try to come up with an interesting design, then feel free to go ahead and try to do it. There have been some really, really, really awesome submissions for pumpkin carvings in the past for this. So if you have a little artistic edge for carving pumpkins and you want to do something Halo themed, then definitely give your hand a try at this. And they're going to be having three different prizes they're giving away. They can't talk about them quite yet because they are working very closely with 343 to get some pretty awesome prizes. I have a feeling one of them might be a copy of the Master Chief Collection, but that's just me. But it's really simple to enter. All you have to do is send a picture that's at least 640 by 480 to HBO, which you can just send them to halo@bungie.org. Submissions are due at midnight, October 31st. And in order to win the prizes, you have to be within the continental US or Canada in order to actually get the prize shipped to you. You can't reuse a picture that you've submitted in the past if you've somehow submitted in the past for one of these things. But you can submit in multiple different entries. So if you make multiple pumpkin carvings, you can submit them in one at a time. But they are using very high discretion on which submissions may look digitally altered. So if they even think that it may be digitally altered, they're going to toss it out. So be careful. Don't be careful. Just don't do it. No photoshopping. No photoshopping there. You can check out all the details up on their website. And we'll have a link, of course, in the show post if you want to give that a go. And I was actually wrong. There's actually a page that they're taking them through for submissions this year. But if you want to take a crack at it, then go for it. I might actually take a crack at it this year. I know I wouldn't win, but it'd be pretty cool to try to make a Halo themed pumpkin carving.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do it. I make some stencils or something out of some Halo, maybe the, I don't know. I'll give it a go. I've always liked carving pumpkins around this time with making all kinds of crazy faces, but I've never tried this. So
there's lots of different things you can do. I know there's people that have made entire scenes, and I believe last year someone did the whole Chief Cortana moment at the end of Halo 4, which was really, really awesome.
Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of artistic people out there that I wish I had their gifts, man. It's just crazy what people can do.
Yeah. I imagine someone possibly doing the Master Chief Collection logo kind of superimposed on a pumpkin.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. It's just, it's a shame that they're all going to rot away. The only thing they're going to have is just the pictures. Unless there's some way you can preserve it.
Yeah, you take a picture.
True. I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyways. So that's happening for the next month. Make sure you at least give it a try. Even if it's not good, it'd be fun to carve pumpkins. And everyone, or I guess I shouldn't say everyone, but most people I would assume would enjoy carving pumpkins. So have fun. Give it a try. And I know I'll be voting on the selectees for this year. I think I voted last year and possibly the year before. And there are some really good ones. They're really cool and gives you some ideas for some designs. So you can take a look at their past archives for the submissions, and it might give you a couple of ideas on what you want to do for your pumpkin. So give it a go if you have the time to do it. Otherwise, I highly encourage you guys at least take a look at the final results and go vote for them as well. And on that note, we are going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for coming by and downloading the show. We didn't do a live show tonight just because of the situations at hand, but we normally do our podcast live on Thursday nights at 8:30 Eastern time. And then, of course, you can check out our game nights, which are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. also. The Tactical Tuesday, we kind of rotate between games, and we did Halo 3 ODST this last week to get achievements, and that was an absolute blast, and we will be doing that again in the near future. Hopefully get a Halo Wars rotated in there as well. And then Wacky Wednesdays, of course, every week on Halo 4. So make sure you guys check those out. Make sure you check out the podcast network. That is podka.st. It includes podcasts like Guardian Radio, Cryptcast, ReachCast, How to Murder Time, and Work in Progress. So check out those podcasts. It's our sister podcast network, and they do some really good stuff over there. So if you're looking for some other stuff to take a listen to, I highly encourage you guys go check it out. Make sure you check out our social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that nice jazzy stuff. And one other thing we want to make a quick announcement on is we are officially bringing on Haas Sauce on as the community manager for Podtacular. Most of you guys have probably seen him in the chat, and you've heard him on the show and seen him in the game nights. So he's been putting up a lot of effort for us, and we really appreciate the work that he's doing. So Haas, congratulations. You are now officially the Podtacular community manager and all the roles and responsibilities that come with it. So congratulations, bud. Hope to see you and your good work that you're going to be putting out for Podtacular. And to wrap things up, make sure you guys check out our forums as well if you haven't already, podtacular.com/forums. And until next time, keep on dragging cannons.